Welcome to episode number 20 of the First Responder Wellness Podcast, the show where we talk about wellness, mental health, leadership, and what it takes to have a wellness culture within your organization. Hey, my name is Conrad Weaver, and I hope you're having a great start to the new year. Wow, it's already the middle of January, and is it just me or does life seem to move faster the older I get? I hope you are staying well and healthy and that you're doing the things that you need to do to take care of yourself. So, what do you do when you have a peer support team all trained up and ready to do the work they're trained to do, but maybe they're just sitting by their phones and waiting for a call? And perhaps they're not getting those calls. How do you make sure the peer support program you've set up and spent money on probably is really working and effective? Well, a small Canadian company has been working on solutions for this very problem. And today I have their chief strategy officer on the podcast to talk about all of this. Nick Fiorito has been developing and managing projects in the software and tech industry since 2012. He led the design for the initial development of PeerConnect. PeerConnect platform was first launched by First Response Mental Health in 2019 and is the result of years of co-development and research with frontline first responders, health professionals, and professionals in high-stress occupations, and researchers in the field of psychology and social work. PeerConnect is the only proactive peer support platform on the market and has been field-tested and incorporates real-life learning and evidence-based feedback. And we're going to learn all about it today on the podcast, so stay tuned. Hey, thanks so much for listening to the podcast. I know there are a ton of podcasts out there, and so I appreciate you taking time to listen to this one. I'm also grateful for everyone who's joining us on YouTube. Thanks for watching, and thanks for subscribing. And if you haven't subscribed already, please be sure to subscribe, no matter what channel you watch from. This really helps us get the word out to more people about the show. And if you have a few seconds, please take time to rate and review the program. This would mean the world to me and would really help us rise in the rankings. Thanks again for listening and watching. And now let's learn about PeerConnect. Well, Nick, welcome to the First Responder Wellness Podcast. Thanks so much for joining me today.
Yes, thanks for having us on.
Yeah, I first met you just a little over a month ago out at the PSPSA conference in San Diego. So tell us a little bit about who you are and what do you do?
Yeah, so my name's Nick, obviously. I've been in Canada all my life, do some traveling with work, but Ontario, Canada is my home. Right now, working with and for First Response Mental Health. And so we created the PeerConnect platform that a lot of first responder groups are using, which obviously we'll get into. But I guess my role, besides being on the ground floor and the original group that developed it for our first couple of groups, is just to oversee kind of a few different departments. We've grown a little bit, so just trying to keep everyone on track. And we're fully remote, so that has its own challenges now. But really encouraged by the work of our team and the work that peer support teams and wellness units are doing with the system. We've had some really, really cool stories come out of how it's helped people. So that's kind of the main motivator these days.
Yeah, I want to get into that in just a minute, but I want to back up a little bit to get kind of your backstory. You and I have a kind of a similar path. We both were involved in youth ministry at one point. So tell me kind of your journey, where you got to today.
Yeah, so I'm trained, university trained as a high school teacher, but never really did that. I had a family pretty quickly, pretty young, and kind of just moved right into taking a job actually in immigration and language training. And then, the youth ministry side actually does lead to how I am in software development world, because Kevin, our CEO, and myself, we became friends because we each led a youth group in our city up in Thunder Bay, Ontario. And we started to say, hey, let's do some events together. And so we had some adventures and misadventures leading these youth groups on different mountain climbing trips and things like that. And then he had just started working with our key developer, Greg Hill. And they got a software development company off the ground. And they said, hey, you've got a good eye for graphics, photography, kind of that side of things, you should work with us. And I said, well, I have a family, so I would need to make some money. And they said, okay, well, we can't do that yet. But shortly after, some contracts came through. And so that was, I think, 2011, 2012, I got into the software development field, doing some requirements gathering and just drawing up screens and, you know, just rudimentary Photoshop screens, learning as I went, because that's kind of, we were a scrappy crew that figured things out. And pretty quickly we increased our capacity and we were making a lot of custom systems for utilities companies, health and safety systems, dashboards, key performance indicator systems. So every project was different. We had a lot of time to design new ideas and new things. And ultimately that kind of equipped us to where we are today, mm-hmm. To being able, just even being able in the first place to develop PureConnect fully in-house, kind of respond to the needs of our local, it started with our local EMS service.
Yeah. I was going to ask you how you kind of got into that first responder space. Yeah.
So funny enough, our city is small in that, you know, there's about 110,000 people, but you know, everyone knows everyone. It's only a couple degrees of separation. So actually, a family member of mine, is a paramedic still. And the organization here, they have about 275 staff paramedics spread across a large geographic region. So when I say Northern Ontario, people think, you know, the scale doesn't really register. But it would take, for this particular service, it's about 5 or 6 hours to drive from one end to the other of their catchment area. So you would have medics working in a remote base that would not see anyone. They'd be 1 week in or 2 weeks in, and very difficult to kind of check in on them, keep track of who's doing well, who's gone to some, you know, particularly nasty calls or is feeling a certain way. So he became their first full-time wellness and peer support coordinator. This was in, I believe he got the job around 2017 or late 2017. Then 2018, we were talking and he said, you know, he'd been on the job, he had his spreadsheets, he had all his different ways he's trying to organize things, and said, can we build something that would help me with this? Because it's overwhelming. I've got people all over. It's a huge area. Sometimes my whole day is spent, I'll just drive to that one base, which is good, check in on those medics, but that's my whole day, you know, 3 hour drive and there and back. So we thought, hey, this would be a really cool, you know, challenge. We looked and didn't find anything readily available that even that we could modify or kind of, no one was really doing a very particular, you know, meeting those very particular set of requirements or challenges, that group presented. And we, you know, I can say this now, we were totally naive to the whole thing. We weren't into peer support. We weren't into first responder wellness. This was our first kind of entrance to that. But then obviously since then we've been full speed ahead and really gotten up to speed on that. But that's how it started. So we started developing it in 2018 with that group, meeting with the chief, the stakeholders, the frontline medics, saying, what would you want in this system? What would you, you know, not want in this system? What can and can't it collect and all that kind of thing. And then we just launched with them thinking maybe this is, you know, a one-off good kind of, pro bono thing to do for our local EMS service. And shortly after they launched, the growth was very organic at the start. It still is, really, in that other Ontario-based EMS services heard about it, started calling us, we started setting them up, and then we quickly realized this is a thing. This is like a product in and of itself. There's a demand here. Let's actually fork the two companies, create a new company. So 2019, First Response Mental Health was formed and incorporated, and then it's kind of gone from there.
What was the response from that initial group? What was the feedback? Or how did it help them with their peer support, with their connecting with each other?
So I think what had happened previously is peer support wasn't necessarily new to that organization, but now, you know, being in the space now, I've heard time and time again the same story where they're trained, like I think they trained 22 peer supports out of their staff. So a pretty healthy ratio, almost 10%. And the peer support program, everyone is excited. They get nominated, they get trained and vetted, and then they wait. And then the excitement kind of dies down. Are they utilized as effectively as they could be? Probably not. In some cases, yes, but it takes a lot of work to ensure that happens. So for example, this group, full-time coordinator position, lots of groups aren't that, you know, quote unquote lucky. They just can't staff that, or they're smaller groups, so they don't have those resources. So the initial response was actually very good. We weren't sure how it would be. But because I think there was a bit of pride in knowing that this was developed for them, that they were the first group to use it. It met their requirements perfectly because, you know, we collaborated and co-developed it with them. And I just remember those were early days. Like, I'm not sure, we have 22 or 23 staff and we're hiring a few more now, but we only had three or four back then. And so we were wearing all the hats. We were training them while our developers were still coding certain parts of it. And I mean, it's a total startup story and a really fun time, to be honest. So we trained every one of their staff. Nowadays, when a group launches, we don't train everyone. We have our knowledge base, our videos, you know, it's a lot more polished, but we were holding hands on every one of those paramedics, saying this is how it works, and in person answering the questions about, you know, what happens if I do this, how do I do this. And so it was really really kind of ground floor scrappy time, which was a lot of fun.
So tell me a little bit about the nuts and bolts of it. How does it work, and how does it help the first responders, you know, in the field?
So there's a lot of different systems out there. And when I say systems, it could be an app, it could be a website, it could be a way of doing, like, a process using a spreadsheet, like there's using a paper and pencil. There's lots of different ways to run a peer support program, to run a wellness program. And so we have similarities with other systems or apps in terms of, you know, having resources in there, having, we have a feed that the organization can control. So a news feed, so they can get information out. It's a really nice communication tool. Now, that's not the reason we built it. The reason we built it initially, and what we're kind of known or different for, is that peer support management system. And you can almost call it like a ticketing or a dispatch system for peer support. So there's a few different ways that it works. You can set people on proactive timers. That's one that gets a lot of good feedback and really helps to engage the peer team, in that you could say, well, everyone that works here, we want them to get an annual, you know, some people call it the checkup from the neck up, or just an annual touch base with the peer team to make sure. And what we find, and the feedback that we get, is that helps to normalize the process. You know, you're not in trouble if you're, you know, it's not gossip. You know, Nick went to see peer support. I wonder what's going on. No, everyone goes to see them, or everyone gets a checkpoint every so often. So that really helps just kind of engage the team, help them make use of their training. So they're not just waiting by the phone and, you know, hey, I got trained last year as a peer support and no one's ever called me. So that just helps kind of grease the wheels of a very proactive, engaged peer team. And you can set different frequencies for different roles. So some of our groups will have retirees on a frequency after they retire, maybe every 6 months. So they're not, you know, because kind of out of sight, out of mind, but that can be a hotspot for first responders, law enforcement especially. Some groups have new recruits for their first year. Maybe they get checked in on quarterly, and things like that. Now, people can also push a button to basically, you know, request support from the team. But it's, they have some customization in who is able to see that request, who will respond. And it's a little bit more, the model's a little flipped, where you're kind of putting your hand up to say, hey, I could use a chat right now. You're not looking at that list of, like traditionally you'd have a list on the bulletin board and, you know, in the hallway or the break room, here's all our peer supports, here's their phone numbers, you know, call anytime. We're excited to assist you. This is a little bit of a flip model, where it's almost like putting your hand up or paging your trusted team out of the peer supports. So you push that button, the trusted team gets notified, someone commits to it, it goes away for everyone else. So that's why it's almost like dispatch or ticketing, because if I push my button, it goes out to six people. I don't get six phone calls. I get one. And I don't get zero phone calls, because we have some escalation and some safety nets in there as well. So yeah, you can be proactively checked in on. You can push a button. Supervisors, peer teams, or automated through dispatch, we can connect to make sure that people are checked in on after critical incidents, or if someone notices that they need a check-in. So there's a few different ways, but basically it helps a peer support coordinator. Like, it's kind of the hammer for the carpenter. It's the tool for the peer support coordinator. It's very purpose built. They have their own dashboard. they get reports that are de-identified. You know, so if you were my peer support and we had a chat, you would fill in a connection form after the fact, but it's not connected to me. It's just about the conversation. So what was the main stressor? And groups can customize what's on that form. So they can look at the data over time and see, okay, here's the main thing that our people are concerned about or stressed about, or here's how we're reaching them. Here's how many connections we did last year as a peer team. You know, do we need to train more peers? Are they overworked? Or do we have a good balance? So really they, you know, they say what is measured can be managed. And traditionally peer support has been a good thing. It's evidence-based. It's a positive thing, but it hasn't been measured because people were concerned. How do you measure that? Mm-hmm. So we think, you know, obviously in working with the groups that we work with, fine tuning things, making new features, that we found that balance of confidentiality, de-identified, but giving the coordinator, the wellness unit, the tools to make those decisions.
Mm-hmm. How is this data then utilized in for leaders, for the chief? What do they see? What can they see? What can't they see?
Yeah. So each organization can choose the permission level for different roles or different users. So primarily, actually, the top access is not for the chief. It's actually for that wellness unit or that peer support coordinator. They are our system admin who can kind of see things in the back. They can add and remove people from the peer team, things like that. What they can do is just hit export on the reporting page on their dashboard, and that'll export a report that they can email or print off or, you know, use in a presentation to the chief. There's no names on it. There's never any way to reattach, you know, who talked to whom or what they talked about. So the chief can see, hey, you know, I'm pumping all this money in. I've said I'm making mental health a priority. How can I show, you know, the people I answer to, city council or, you know, my bosses, that we're actually doing something. So it helps everyone, right? And so they get a report of kind of the concerns, like I mentioned. What are people dealing with? How many connections have we had? How's our peer team engaged? So they can say, yeah, you know, I approve training 5 more next year, or we're going to ramp things up here, or, hey, we're doing good. I can bring this to the committee or city council and say, here's what we've done to support our membership. Mm-hmm.
So what's been your feedback overall from the organizations that have utilized this tool?
Yeah, I think where the groups that have utilized it to the utmost, they're using all the features. They're not startup peer support groups. And we do work with groups that are just getting started. We don't in-house do any like peer support training on the actual mental health conversations. So we know trainers, we've worked with other trainers, we know who's using who, so we can help groups find someone that's good as a consultant or a trainer. But the groups that have a longstanding kind of well-run peer support team, this just kind of is that nitrous oxide boost to get them to the next level. Mm-hmm. And so groups that are kind of borderline, this helps them reach the next level. But really, it really does take off when a group has a peer support coordinator or they have policies in place. And this just, usually we can tell right away when we do a demo meeting, if that peer support coordinator is in there, they'll just go, I don't know how many times I've heard someone say, this is what I was waiting for. This is what I wanted to design. I was trying to build this for how long? And we say, well, yes, because we built it with people that are doing the same job as you. You just haven't found out about it yet. It could have been you that was the first group that was creating it with us. And it would probably look very similar because the challenges of running the peer team are, you know, almost universal. They're very similar across North America. So oftentimes when a peer support coordinator that has, you know, a decent sized peer team, they're trying to be proactive, they're trying to keep everyone engaged and keep track of their stats, and they've got notepads and spreadsheets, usually when they see it, they say, yes, this is what I was looking for. So that feedback's been good. And we've kind of branched out into, initially, like I mentioned, groups that had a peer team that had, you know, the systems and the logistics in place, they could just take this and run with it. We have branched out now to interconnecting teams. So maybe a larger group can connect, like let's say a large metropolitan police force with a really robust peer team. They can now support the suburban kind of municipal forces around.
If they don't have the resources or don't have those tools, they can help with that.
Exactly. Yeah. And so the extreme of that is now in South Carolina, where the state actually has funded a pilot of 70 groups to of law enforcement, police, and we're with the Fire Association, Police Association, EMS Association, and we have coroners in there, dispatchers. So they're looking to do a whole statewide where you as an individual, if you belong to a larger department like Charleston that has a, you know, a strong peer team, you can request contact from that team. Or maybe you want to reach outside those walls. You have options for connecting with other teams. And maybe if I'm, you know, in a small little volunteer fire department of 25 people and we don't have a peer team, we have very few resources, I now have access to the same level of service and resources that the larger departments have.
Does that kind of help with those people who are maybe more hesitant to reach out, you know, because everybody knows me here and I don't want to spill my beans, my guts to my fellow firefighter or fellow officer, so they can be more anonymous to someone outside their agency? Hey, just a quick break in the show to invite you to order the PTSD 911 film and toolkit for your public safety agency. This is an awesome tool that you can use for training the moment you make the purchase. There is so much great content, not only in the film, but in all the additional videos and resources that come with it. Order it today and put it into your training modules tomorrow and get the conversation going about wellness in your agency. Click the link in the show notes below, right down there, and order it as soon as you finish listening and watching the show. And now back to the podcast.
Just in the last year or so, and we've done a big redevelopment of the system to allow for this, to allow groups to, we call it, co-actively share peer teams. And this is what we find is happening. So we have a group in Washington State of, I think there's six fire departments have all joined together to share peers under this system, under the Peer Connect system. There's a group of four police departments in kind of suburban Minneapolis, the west side. There's, you know, the different suburbs. They've joined together and they're sharing peer teams across South Carolina, different groups like that. So we do see it as a trend where sometimes when people reach out themselves, that seems to be the case where they want to reach out beyond their walls, but they still want, you know, a first responder. They, if they're a firefighter, they still want a firefighter that gets it. You know, that is a true peer. But we want to make sure those people are trustworthy. They've been trained to the same level. So if two departments say, hey, we use the same trainer, or we agree, or in some states, you know, there's a certain kind of post or different requirements for the peer support training, then we say, yeah, let's link up. And basically in our system, functionally how it works is when you go to push that button to request support, it's going to ask you from which team, your internal team, the regional peer support team, your chaplain's team. We can break it up, give people quite a lot of options, and they can actually customize who's on each team for them.
Mm-hmm. What's your big overall vision for this? What would you love to see this, where do you want it to go?
Yeah, we have a few, our vision is a little bit big sometimes, which is good. We kind of have some ideas of what we're driving toward. Some of the things that we're hoping to do and actually have started doing. So peer supports themselves, we're kind of creating a network, hopefully national network of peer supports. Right now we're not charging or anything for that, but if a peer team wants to connect with another peer team and use it at that lateral level, we're facilitating that within the system. Same thing for chiefs or deputy chiefs, or kind of, you know, honoring the hierarchy, because you might be a chief of a 60 sworn police department. You're the only chief there. And so who do you talk to? Well, we are connecting those chiefs at that level to be able to talk with other chiefs who get it, who understand the same pressures, who maybe are stayed away, so that, you know, I don't have to worry about it getting back, and I can have a trusted person to talk to, and still using the mechanisms that we have to facilitate that. So I can reach out, I can be proactively checked in on, that kind of thing. Now, when people see our system, they see a demo, or they understand how it works, like every time they say, this could be good for X. This would be good for teachers. This would be good for doctors, nurses, clergy, chaplains. So that's where we hope to go. We've stayed very first responder focused, just for capacity, for keeping our messaging very clear, and for that trust. But you could see very easily how this would be used in other verticals. And an example of that is our partnership now with the International Conference of Police Chaplains, who I believe they have 2,500 to 3,000 members across, well, it's international, primarily in the US. So they are checking in on each other. Mm-hmm. They're using this chaplaincy support system. So yeah, there are a lot of different places it could go. We want to stay focused with our core team right now on the first responder population, but the tool itself, we often joke that we kind of created Excel, and you know, now we have accountants, but now we have other people saying, hey, I could use that to run my small business. I could use that for my family budget. We created the tool. The people that go into it are really up to the organization. So if you have a large group and you want some kind of support, that's kind of where we're going. And we've had a lot of groups wanting to use it with peer support models that are more client facing. So, you know, addiction recovery groups and, you know, church and community groups that want to check in on their members and use this tool or this mechanism to do that. It's with very little to no customization or changes, it could be duplicated in those areas.
But your focus still remains on the first responder community, which, you know, in this world of, you know, even post-COVID, where we've been so disconnected from each other, a tool that can help people stay connected is so important. You know, we're all connected to this, right? Which has connected us in amazing ways, but it also has disconnected us in really tragic ways.
Yeah, and we are kind of in the business of reconnecting people, because to date, and you know, things might change, but there's not a chat. It's not a chat app, actually. We kind of are the connection, the matchmaker, and then people talk over coffee. They talk over the phone. We make sure the connection happens, and you know, we trigger different things. We engage people. Everyone, you know, has their role in it to connect with people, but it is ultimately a getting people to talk to people system. So it's not AI driven, or you're not checking in with a bot or something. It's no, you've reached out and one of your peers or a peer that understands your role and what you're dealing with is going to talk to you. Maybe face to face, maybe over the phone, but it is a human connection. So it's hopeful, like the goal is that it's technology bringing people back actually together to talk and support one another.
Boy, that's really important. What does it do for you to know that these first responders are now able to not only check on each other, but really take care of each other in this way using this tool?
Yeah. So it's actually funny, because in 2018, when we started this, I had a family member that was that wellness coordinator. Everyone has family members in first responder, like public safety. But since then, my wife is now a police dispatcher.
Oh, wow.
So I don't know what caused her to, seeing all the work I do, caused her to get into it. But so now I do hear some of these stories, and I am now a first responder spouse, which I did not expect or think when we started this, right, in 2018. So for me, just hearing the stories and coming to even a better understanding, because I get to talk to people every day. I meet different groups. I meet departments all across North America and kind of worldwide now. And so I understand, but it's through a screen lots of times, or it's at conferences. So, you know, but now it's really hit home for me personally, as to like my wife said, I needed to talk to the peer support team. And I was like, oh, that's what we do. Like, that's a real, like, it's really kind of come back to earth for me in terms of the need, the gravity for it. And the stories that we've heard of people, especially on the proactive side. So you can reach out, if your agency uses Peer Connect, it's not like you have to use the app. You can still talk to people. Of course, you can go outside of it. But with that proactive model where people are calling you, what we found is that people seem to be more receptive to, they're hesitant to make the call. But if you called me and say, hey, how's it going? You know, I've got some time. I want to talk to you and just see how you're doing. I'm going to be more open about that, or I'm going to have some more space for that conversation. So we've had some great stories of people kind of saying, yeah, you know what, I am really struggling. Like, thanks for calling. And then developing that relationship, getting support, getting, you know, moving on to more professional, quote unquote, clinical resources, you know, peer support meets with someone, then they move on to the clinician, or they say, hey, let's get you involved in this, or that kind of thing. So it really is opening doors, and it's helping to, we hope, and actually we do have a bit of research on this, is helping to kind of break a bit of that stigma, which has gone down, which is great. But just like I mentioned, it's not a weird, it's not an abnormal thing to reach out or to talk to peer support. In our agencies that utilize the system and have proactive kind of engaged, it's just a normal, regular part of being an employee there. So that's changing the way that, not changing, but just supporting how groups are able to run their teams and be more engaged is super fulfilling, and something that we're constantly, like, we do a new development, we do a new release every month right now, because so many groups are using it, asking for new features, saying, hey, we do it this way. So it's very customizable. When a group comes on board, we run them through an implementation process with our team and say, how do you want this? How do you want this? How do you want this? And then if they don't know, we stay in our lane. We're not the mental health experts, but we say, here's a group that's doing it this way. Do you want to talk to them? Here's a group that has this enabled. Do you want to get a hold of that peer coordinator and chat with them? And then we'll set it up, whatever you decide, or if they're overseen by a clinician or, you know, a practitioner, they'll be in on that conversation. And so it works from everyone, you know, coast to coast, east, west, north, south. So, that's just been really fun too, is we didn't launch that initial group and say, well, good, we did it. Let's, you know, put our feet up. Mm-hmm. We still have our own in-house development team. We're still constantly getting feedback and requirements from our clients and potential clients, and building on that. And that's what's been really fun and interesting as well.
Mm-hmm. You mentioned as a family member, and I know how the important role that family has with first responders. Is this something that family members can access as well and get support? And how does that work?
Yeah. So to get to like the nuts and bolts of it, we bill or we quote just based on the size of the organization. Sure. Hey, what's your staff? You know, we figure that out. Now, family, retirees, spouses, they're no cost. They have access to the system as part of that. They can view resources. Some groups will actually pay to have the family members, if they have a spousal peer support team, if they want the spouses to be on a proactive check-in. Mm-hmm. Some of our groups do that. And so we figure that out. But generally for the family members, they do have access as well. And they can kind of, hey, you know, my spouse is dealing with this. Let me look up an article or watch some videos on that mm-hmm. topic.
Mm-hmm. That's awesome. So, yeah, this is really exciting. And I know it'd be exciting for a lot of people. How can someone kind of check it out? Can they do like a test run? What's the process there?
Yeah. So we, just through our website, there's a contact form. You can request a demo, because it is where we're getting to. And this is probably like maybe Q1 2024, maybe Q2, Q3, I'm not going to promise, but we are hoping to have a more public version of it, where an individual first responder that's not connected to one of our client organizations can actually access it and do different things like that. But because it is pretty customized per group, there's not like a free, you know, demo out in the wild that people can just access. But we do, you know, organizations that are interested, we do hook them up with a kind of a little playground version. Mm-hmm. So we can get that going, run through a demo, answer the questions. But when our team meets with a prospective client agency, the first part of that generally hour long discussion is, how do you guys run things now? And are we a good fit? And then where do you want to get to? What have you heard? What, like, here's some ideas. Is that interesting to you? Okay, we can help facilitate that through the use of the system. So it is a real feeling out of each other, because some groups, maybe at this point, they aren't a good match for the system, but we can connect them with people who will get them there, or whatever their goals are, or whatever they feel like they need to do to support their members. So yeah, firstresponsemh.com. There's a contact form or book a demo form, and that'll get you right in front of one of our people to walk you right through it.
That's awesome. Well, I'm really excited about this. I'm excited to, I think Kevin kind of gave me another version of it for another thing that's being developed. And so I've been kind of looking at that and seeing what it's all about. So it's pretty exciting. But I want to ask you this, what do you do to take care of you? In your tech world and in the busyness that you do, I mean, there's always challenges to take care of oneself. So I'm just curious.
I still run a youth group, so I don't know if that's taking care of myself or just piling more on. But you know, it's Thursday today. Tomorrow night, I'll have about 25 to 30 high schoolers that I'm dancing around, entertaining, and getting to know. And that actually keeps me young at heart, and I really do enjoy that. So I've got teens of my own, and I just feel like that was a big part of keeping me on a decent path growing up. You know. Strayed a few times, but so I do put a lot of my energy and enjoyment into that. And then, you know, I'm in Canada, so it's just going to my kids' hockey games.
Of course.
And getting my frustrations out, yelling at the refs and things like that.
Aren't Canadians like that's born with hockey skates on?
Yeah. We emerge from frozen puddles and right. Just take off from there. Yeah.
Speaking of hockey games, my wife and I are going to go see the Caps play next week. So we're excited about that.
Oh, nice. Yeah. There you go.
I think they're playing the Sabres. So that'll be fun. We're big hockey fans. Our son played hockey as a mite. And I forget, for a couple of years from 6 to 10, I think he played. And then he got tired of it.
I helped coach all the way up until, you know, the longtime coaches took over when they get to their teen years. So. Loved it.
Yeah. Exciting. So, one last question. What's something fun you're going to do in the next month or two?
Ooh, something fun. Well, my in-laws live in Calgary, so we're going to go out there for Christmas, and then we're just looking at different things we could do as a family out there. Kids like skiing, so we might be able to hit up Lake Louise or Banff for that. Mm-hmm. So that'll be a nice kind of break. It's not any warmer in Calgary during Christmas, but at least it's a bit of a vacation.
It's a different view, right?
Exactly. Yeah. They've got mountains, close by. So get into those and have some fun.
Yeah. Well, Nick, I really appreciate the work you're doing. You're doing very important work, for our first responder community. Thank you for that. Thank you for your commitment to that and for your expertise and in connecting first responders with each other so that they can better take care of each other. And hopefully through that, we can save lives. And
Thank you. And congrats to you on the success of the film and all the hard work you're doing, rolling that out and getting, I know your brain's kind of working on the next version or the next step in that. Mm-hmm. So all the best to you, as well as do a lot of traveling and take care on that side of things.
Yeah, I appreciate it very much. Thank you, Nick, for spending time with me today on the podcast. And thanks to all of you who have taken time to listen, to watch, and especially those of you who have left a review. I really appreciate it. And if you haven't left a review, I invite you to do that. I want to be sure I'm bringing content to you that you want to hear, and your reviews help me. And remember, you are not alone. And if you need someone to talk to and don't know where you can turn, you can dial 988 for help. So be sure to tune in next week for another interview with an amazing first responder leader. And until next time, be well, take care of yourself and those around you, and go out and do something great in the world.